Welcome to the podcast. Tonight on BlazeTV.com/Beck. Use the promo code Beck to join there. We have State of the Union coverage. It happens at 7:30 Eastern, like the whole team at Blaze TV. Going to be checking out the State of the Union, giving you coverage. It's a little bit tad different than you might get from CNN or MSNBC. If you're going to watch the State of the Union, why wouldn't you go to the Blaze TV coverage? By the way, you can also get that on Facebook and YouTube. It's free tonight. So check it out. BlazeTV.com/Beck. Promo code is Beck to sign up. Today we have Glenn starts with an interesting story about how we've had some divided times before. In fact, we kept having fights in Congress. He's got a story of one that happened on this day back in the day that is crazy. We also have a list of the guests that people are going to be bringing to the State of the Union. Some of those are really interesting. A crazy new abortion law. Ben Sasse tried to get people to say, you know, maybe we shouldn't kill babies after they're born. Can we at least agree on that much? Apparently not. One Democrat in particular actually opposed this and prevented the vote from going through. We have the new Second Amendment path that is the Democrats are using to try to limit your right to bear arms. And Eric Bolling joins the show. John Miller joins the show from Blaze TV. All that coming up on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Patriot Mobile is a phone service that will give you all of the great coverage that you want. They're just not going to take the money from you and then invest that in causes that you don't believe in, like Planned Parenthood. Patriot Mobile actually is going to let you invest your money into the causes that you believe in. But most of these cell companies, they give all kinds of money to crazy, crazy causes that you work hard against.
It's true. Why do that? You can go with Patriot Mobile. They were created to solve that problem. They're the only conservative cell phone company in America. Go to patriotmobile.com/blaze. Get started today. When you use the offer code Blaze, they're going to waive the activation fee for up to two lines. patriotmobile.com/blaze or 1-800-A-PATRIOT is the place to go.
It was late on February 5th. And Congress was in session. They were working on the Kansas Territory pro-slavery constitution. And things were heating up. Now, remember, just a few years ago, there had already been a beatdown in the Senate when a senator stood up and said, "The South is sleeping with a harlot. They are sleeping with a whore of slavery." Well, that upset a congressman who heard about that. Somebody was saying this about the South. How dare you, sir, say these things about the glory of the South? And so he crossed chambers and came in, and he beat the man almost to death. Okay? It was quite a show. Nobody stopped him. He took his cane and he beat him in the head until he was almost dead. The only thing that saved him was that little Jimmy Stewart senator desk that they all sit behind. And he crawled underneath it, and it couldn't be moved. And that was stopping the blows to the head. He was out for about 3 years and never really truly recovered. But he had to go out and convalesce for about 3 years. What's amazing about this story is no one in the Senate asked for the perpetrator to be arrested. And in fact, the Democrats took pieces of that cane and they made little teeny canes out of the wood and some out of silver. And they put them on chains that they wore around their neck that basically said, "You come after the South, you come after slavery, and we'll beat you to death." They were proud of it. All right, so 4 years later, they're in session, and now they're talking about slavery again. And the South and the Southern Democrats were pushing slavery onto Kansas, and things started to boil over. More than 30 members started joining in on what became a melee. It was about 2 o'clock in the morning. And they started insulting each other. And then somebody threw a punch at one, and then the other threw it back. And it became this melee. And this is my favorite. First of all, the sergeant of arms. You know the guy who comes in, Mr. Speaker! I hate this. The President of the United States! And everybody, he has a mace. And I don't even know. Stu, does he carry the mace around? He doesn't do that, does he?
I don't know the answer to that, no.
Well, you would recognize it. It's this. Do you know what it is? Have you ever seen it?
No.
Okay, this is a tradition. Comes from the 1800s, like 1840. They decided to go all regal on us, and so they made this mace, and it's 13 wooden rods, and then I think in silver it's bound together like a fasces, and so it's bound together with silver. Then it has a globe on the top and a giant silver eagle. And so he carries this around like, I can hit you with this at any time, and I can also have you arrested because I've got this big stick thing. So the sergeant of arms, he grabbed the mace in this melee, and he started swinging the mace. You're not really actually supposed to swing it. And he was swinging the mace. Somebody else, they were punching each other, about 30 of them, punching each other. One guy, this is my favorite. I would love to see this recreated. A guy named Cadwallader Washburn.
It's a solid name right there. Cadwallader Washburn.
It is, isn't it? Yeah. I'm Cadwallader Washburn. He was a northerner. He was a Republican I think he was a Republican. Yeah, Wisconsin Republican. Called Cadwallader Washburn. He grabs one of the Democrats. He was a Democrat from Mississippi. His name was William Barksdale. And he grabs him and grabs his hairpiece and rips it off. This is one of the most satisfying moments I can possibly imagine. Imagine somebody in Washington, D.C. They're having a brawl. And a famous politician, which had to be an infamous hairpiece, somebody reaches and rips it off his head and he's bald. How satisfying would that be?
Needs to happen at more get-togethers in Washington.
It does. It needs to happen tonight. Mm-hmm. It needs to happen tonight. I'm going to be up in the balcony and I'm going to be going, Cadwallader Washburn!
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Stu, do you remember when George, our agent, went through a period of his life where he thought he should have a toupee?
I don't. No, I don't.
You
remember
don't
this.
Remember this?
No.
Really?
No.
Wow. Okay. So George. So you know George. He's bald as a cue ball. He's just got the hair right around the strip, okay? Mm-hmm. He's been bald since, like, 1971. And everybody knows that he's bald. He comes into the office one day, and he goes into all the management, and I'm on the air, and somebody comes into the office and says, do not say anything. George is wearing a toupee. And I'm like, what? George is wearing a toupee. Well, maybe he's wearing it as a joke. No, he's not. We called. He's wearing a toupee.
We called.
Okay.
So like a central information source of some some sort.
Yeah, so yeah, is this a joke toupee? So he wears the toupee and I'm sitting in this meeting and I'm like, I have to say something. But I don't. Just in case it's a joke. Well, about 10 days go by. And no one has said anything about this. And I said, before he was coming in, I said, we have to tell him about the toupee because it's ridiculous and he's serious. And so everybody's like, no, I'm not going to say anything. I said, I will. So he sits down in my office and I said, George, I got to talk to you about the hairpiece. He said, what? I said, the hair. What are you talking about? George. You've been bald, completely bald, until last Friday. I mean, we all have noticed. What do you think? I think it looks ridiculous. Why are you doing this? And he said, well, thank you for saying something. You know, nobody would say anything to me. And I it was just a joke. It was just a joke. And I could tell that it wasn't. And it was him just going through a time in his life. I mean, guys, women don't understand what hair, losing your hair, does to you. It freaks you out. And apparently, all the way up until you're in your 70s, it continues to freak you out. So he took the hairpiece off. But anyway, I brought that story up because I thought you remembered. He looked ridiculous in it. And that was in like 2010, when hairpieces were good. What did hairpieces look like in 1850?
Yeah, that's like you slaughter a beaver on the way into the Capitol and you just throw it on your head. That's about as good as it could have possibly been.
Yeah, that'd be like a coonskin cap. I mean, what did that look like? Oh. Could you imagine how ridiculous somebody looked in one of those back then?
You think that's bad? Think of how it smelled. I mean, nothing could have smelled good in that era. Imagine either a dead animal or a bunch of other humans' hair kind of just worn on a sweaty head with no air conditioning.
I hate to bring this up. But do you know that in medieval times, urine was a prized possession? Urine was collected but it's true. They used to think that it had purifying properties, and so they would wash their hair in it, and they would, like, brush their teeth if they brushed their teeth with it.
Is this true?
It's honest to God true. No, it's honest to God true.
Shockingly, the life expectancy was like 32, which...
No, that was old age.
Oh, okay.
That was old age. You know what? You can say what you want. You can say how horribly oppressed you are and all these things. You ain't brushing your teeth and washing your hair in urine, man. Be happy.
I think that's how Trump starts the State of the Union today. Hey, look, there's some things you don't like, but you're not brushing your hair and brushing your teeth and washing your hair in urine, so be happy. All right, good night,
everybody. And that's the State of the Union.
It's pretty strong. Thanks. Good night.
Good night, everybody. Okay. I think that's exactly right. We'll get to what you should watch for tonight in the State of the Union, what we think is going to happen, coming up in just a second. Also, Ben Sass on his is banning of infanticide. An incredible story.
What an extremist he is. I can't believe he's asking to ban it. Completely? I mean, no options for infanticide?
Yeah.
Not even one?
Yeah, you have the baby. You can't let it die or kill it.
Come on now. An extreme circumstance. You're late for an appointment.
Okay, Jesus. I mean, thanks a lot for dropping by.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks. And I want to play this audio. This is a Democratic representative that has a new idea to help the public health. Listen how they want to now tax your ammunition.
Currently, ammunition is taxed at the same rate as other products, but we want to increase it by 50% because we see this as a prevention measure. It wouldn't apply to law enforcement or to military, but for example, if someone were to buy a 50-cartridge box of ammunition, which goes for about $10, it would increase the price to $15. We see this as a public health measure, similar to what we've done in the state of Connecticut with increasing the tax on cigarettes. When we increase that tax, we've seen a reduction in use. And so we want to continue Connecticut's legacy of being a leader on preventing and addressing gun violence. Mm. And we see this as another step forward in that direction.
Interesting. Connecticut's a leader on that. Interesting that probably the most famous mass shooting did occur in your state. I don't know if you're aware of this. I don't know if your measures for preventing gun violence have worked all that well. I don't know if anyone's noticed that.
This isn't, if this isn't going around the Second Amendment. That's all this is. That's all this is. Ammunition is already very expensive. Very expensive. You want to be a good shooter, you have to shoot a lot. You want to be somebody who is sloppy, who's going to get somebody killed, go ahead. Make ammunition unaffordable. Because you can't go out, unless you have iTarget Pro, which you should have, look it up. If you're not at the range shooting a lot of ammunition, you're going to be a danger to yourself and everybody around you. So their solution is tax ammunition.
Yeah.
Make it unaffordable for people.
This is one of those things that they say all the time. It's like the AR-15 is too easy to shoot. It's too easy. It's like, well, what the hell do you want it to be? I mean, you want it to be hard to shoot? You want, if someone has to protect themselves, you want them to, what, have to do a handstand to fire the thing?
Yes.
You want it to fire erratically, yes, so it doesn't hit the target and instead hits innocent bystanders? What exactly do you want? Of course you want the thing to be easy to shoot. It's the whole point. You want to be able to hit the target you're aiming for. And obviously, yes, there are people that have used it in terrible ways. But that is not the overwhelming majority of people who bought millions of these things that aren't used in terrible crimes. It's such a bizarre thing to want it to be used more erratically.
Think about how extreme Congress is going to become in the next 2 years, and how extreme, if they win, how extreme they're going to be. I mean, nobody in the... Remember they used to call us extremists because we stood for the Constitution? Because we stood for the Constitution, we were extremists and haters of the U.S. government. Work that math out in your head.
Mm-hmm.
But you've never heard anyone on CNN or MSNBC or any place else, New York Times, talk about how the Democratic Party has been hijacked by absolute extremists.
I mean, they despise the Constitution. Look at what they do to it. Every time one of their little rights is limited, they get so upset about it. I mean, here's your right to bear arms shall not be infringed. And what do they do? Well, it's okay to infringe it when we really don't like the stuff, like bump stocks, for example. Or if we think they're bad, then we can infringe. And sure, we're not going to infringe your right to bear arms, but we're going to infringe your right to be able to actually purchase the things that go in the guns, the ammunition. This is the same thing, Glenn, they did with the partial birth abortion ban, which was passed and signed. It is against the law to do a partial birth abortion. So instead of partially birthing the baby and then killing it, they kill it inside the womb a day or two beforehand and let it die and then deliver the baby dead instead of partially alive. Therefore, they can get around it. They're just skirting the law. We all know what these laws are supposed to do. We know what the Second Amendment's supposed to do. They're just finding ways to get around it and acting as if they're, you know, acting in a legal and responsible way. They're not. And it's all because they never get any pushback on these things. I mean, can you imagine if they passed an environmental law, right, that said no coal factories or no coal plants? And what they found is they Republicans started building coal processing plants on one side of the street and coal burning plants on the other side of the street and found out some way to get around the law, there'd be a 300-page New York Times investigation about how they're skirting the spirit of the law. And yet they do this over and over and over again and get zero pushback from the media. There was a ban passed on partial birth abortions, a ban. They're illegal. And yet they're still doing them and getting defense from one of the two major parties. It's inexplicable. Whenever that law is on their side of things, man, they just don't care about it at all.
On top of that, they are always the ones who are telling us we're not going to do that. Mm-hmm. We're not going to use tax dollars to fund abortions. Well, where is that one? Because we're funding Planned Parenthood. How about this one? We are not going for single-payer health care or Medicare for all. We are just going for Obamacare. Well, what about that one? I mean, the people who hate the slippery slope argument always hate it because it is a slippery slope and they know it. It's like they hate the use of the word, don't use the word baby, use the word fetus. Why? Because you know it's a baby. And the only way you can win is through deceit. Now, I'm not saying that the conservatives, you know, aren't deceitful at times. Sure, everybody has bad guys. But I don't know if you've noticed your party has been hijacked by people who have taken the exact opposite opinion of the things that you believe in. The Republican Party do a lot of things that I really don't like. That's why I'm not a Republican. But I will tell you this. They haven't turned into a group of murderous thugs. And the Democratic leadership is starting to look an awful lot like murderous thugs. They're starting to look like, black shirts. They're starting to look an awful lot like the thugs that take over in revolutions. It is really, truly amazing how fast they took off the mask, and it has been a straight, you know, triple diamond black diamond slope down into off this mountain. They are just going crazy.
We now have, 10 Democratic candidates in, I believe, for 2020 already. We'll probably get another 10 to 15 before this thing is over. The litmus test for them right now is every single one of them basically needs to have any chance to win, has to support Medicare for All. Now, Medicare for All is a proposal that was completely insane just a few years ago. Bernie Sanders proposed Medicare for All in 2013 and got zero co-sponsors of the Democrats. Okay, None of them were with him.
But no, they all were with him. I'm going back to your point that you made earlier. They were all with him, but it wasn't politically expedient to say that.
And now it is.
But now that the masks have come off, now they can say, yeah, you're damn right, I'm a socialist. You're damn right I'm for abortion at any time, even after birth. I'm fine with it. If we tried to kill that sucker and that sucker came out and it's still alive, we're going to neglect it or we'll kill it. I'll strangle it with my own hands if I have to. That's the kind of mentality we're dealing with now. They are now at the point to where they're saying, we're just going to make ammunition unaffordable. They'll do anything. And once they tip a little bit farther, I can guarantee you they will all start to say out loud, we got to go for guns. We just have to. I'm sorry, but the Bill of Rights doesn't mean anything anymore. The Second Amendment doesn't mean anything.
And it's scary.
Because they're already doing that with the Fourth Amendment. The Third Amendment as well, with all of the wiretapping and everything else.
I mean, there's two things that can happen here. Either they're going to move so far left, and then when it comes back to a general, the American people, Democrats, are going to be like, whoa, they're way too crazy. Or, God forbid, they might embrace it. Because they hate Trump so much, they might embrace these sorts of things, and then we are in a totally different country.
So we want to go to CBS confronting Cory Booker on Medicare for All and also tell you the latest polls from the American people. They're frightening because Republicans are starting to go, you know what, higher taxes, not such a bad idea.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
So Eric Bolling is hosting our live coverage on the Blaze TV tonight. It'll be on YouTube, Facebook, blazetv.com. You will see quite a lineup tonight. Mark Levin will be there. I will be there. Sean Spicer, Bill O'Reilly, Corey Lewandowski is also going to be there, and all hosted by Eric Bolling.
And the Mooch.
How are you?
Scaramucci's going to be there, too. Can't leave out the Mooch.
Well, I would, but you don't have to.
I'm doing well, Glenn. You know, the only thing we're on Facebook, YouTube, blazetv.com, dropping the paywall. We should be in Times Square on that big Megatron in Times Square, don't you think?
Yeah.
For your hits.
Just for us. Yeah, just for us. Okay, so what are you expecting tonight? What do you hope the president's going to do?
I hope he turns around and smiles at Nancy Pelosi and says, see, I got this. I'm getting my wall, like it or not. I would love that. That would be perfect.
He is. I hope that he is strong on the border. And
he will be.
Is he going to propose something, or is he just going to use the stick and say, I'll just declare a national emergency.
You mean, is he going to propose a deal? No.
Yeah.
I cannot imagine him offering a deal on stage. This is his stage. You know, this is his moment where he gets anywhere between 60 and 90 minutes to make his
right,
case
but doesn't
for the
he,
next year.
But doesn't he need to make the case that it was Congress that shut down the government, not him? I mean, it was his, and he said, I'll take the blame for it. But he expected somebody to negotiate, and he was willing to negotiate. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, not a wall, it's a fence. They were not willing to budge at all.
Yeah, you know what the absolute bizarreness? Here's, if I were Stephen Miller writing his speech right now, I would appeal to people's common sense. Glenn, this is a, this is a phrase you used to use. I don't know if you still use it. You should, because you are brimming with common sense. $5 billion on a $4.2 trillion budget comes to about, if you had a $100 bill, it comes to about 10 cents. So if you got a $100 bill in your pocket, are you willing to protect your $100 bill by spending 10 cents to guarantee to protect that $100 bill? Now, $100 bill represents our $20 trillion economy. Open up the southern border. Open up our any of our borders. The world will flood in, and you will ruin our economy. You will destroy our country.
You'll do to us what has been done to Europe.
And guess what? If you made a mistake and the 10 cents didn't work, you still have $99.90 in your pocket. But if you don't do it, you might have the whole $100 pickpocketed right from you.
You think he'll break it down like that?
I would if I were him. I don't know if he will. I mean, he's a deal maker, and he walks tall and carries a big stick. So my guess is it'll be along the lines of, hey, I've tried to make a deal with you. We shut down the government. I gave Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer an opportunity to come back to the table, make another deal. You haven't done it. I'll have to do what I have to do. My guess is he'll come a little harder in your face at the Democrats and then put it on them. If they shut down again, you know, Mitch McConnell had a really good line. He said, there's very little education in the second kick of a mule. The Republicans should see that, and I think Trump will see that and say, look, we have to do something. Have to do something. I mean, Glenn, you've been around a long time. To find $5 billion in a $4.2 trillion budget is nothing. It's a rounding error in probably five different agencies.
When you talk about the State of the Union, you would have to include something near and dear to you, the opioid crisis, because it's getting worse and worse. We found enough fentanyl to kill 57 million Americans. We found it coming across our border just last week. So we have to talk about the opioid crisis.
He will. In fact, I've emailed back and forth with Stephen Miller. The opioid crisis and fentanyl and you know, the whole southern border drug issue will be a big part of that speech. And they've assured me that. There's a new kind of talking point going around right now, and I think it's legitimate. As someone who's lost my only son to this horrible, horrible drug, weaponizing fentanyl. Mm-hmm. A suitcase filled with fentanyl can kill a whole city.
Mm-hmm.
Can kill a whole city. So imagine if you can get that into some sort of, into the air supply or into the food or water supply. They're talking about weaponizing fentanyl. I think Trump will talk about why, another reason why we need the southern border tied up. Back to the $5.7 billion. I think the ask for 2019 by Congress is $27 or $28 billion in foreign aid to countries like Jordan, well, to Israel as well, but Afghanistan, to Central America. They're asking for our government, our taxpayers, to come forth with $28 billion to help other people out, likely securing their own borders. So I think that he needs to make all these cases tonight and let the American people, you know, do what Glenn Beck does. Use your common sense. And common sense says, give the guy the money.
So, do you have confidence? I have, you remember when they used to call us extremists because we stood for the Constitution and the Tea Party. They were government-hating, constitutional crazies, and they were hijacking the Republican Party. You couldn't be more far off the mark than that statement. The Democrats have become such extremists when yesterday, Ben Sasse tries to get the Senate to, you know, stand up and say, hey, we're not for infanticide. They won't even be on record for that. They wouldn't even stand up for that vote. It's amazing.
It's amazing you have to bring a bill that says we will not kill a live-born human being.
You have
to bring a bill to outline that? That's insanity.
They're also talking about a wealth tax of 70% or more. You have socialists now openly going against the free market. Who's mounting the campaign to do the sales job for the free market?
You know, you and I have spoken about this in the past. It's young people right now are looking up to AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who is an outright socialist. She calls herself a Democrat socialist, but if you're going to propose a 70% wealth tax, and if you're going to propose
end of the free market,
billionaires should be illegal. I mean, is that the most insane thing you've ever heard? Mm-hmm. So in other words, at what point does it become millionaires should be illegal, or what point does it become everyone should have the same thing? That's
quickly
communism, socialism,
yes,
right? That's what they're proposing. So, but young people, Glenn, I go back to this: young people, probably under the age of say 27, they've been voting for 8 years, 7, 8 years, 9 years. Have never experienced like a really bad time. They've never experienced the Great Depression. They probably don't recall the Great Recession of 2005, 6, 7. And so they think, well, yeah, go ahead. Let's get free stuff. Free stuff's good. We can afford free stuff. Look at this country. We're the most powerful, wealthiest country on the planet. Mm-hmm. Free stuff is good. They don't know the other side of free stuff when your economy goes into a downturn. I saw 1989 stock market crash, people jumping out of buildings in New York City. Saw it. Know it. I was there for the 2005 crash where people were going, we'll pay you, U.S. government. You don't get interest rate to give them your money. We were saying, I'll pay you, government, to hide my money because I don't think it's going to be worth anything at this rate. It was insane. The world was upside down. Goldman Sachs was about to go bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Warren Buffett stepped in and put a $5 billion buffer on Goldman Sachs, saved Goldman Sachs. If Goldman Sachs goes after Lehman went, after Bear Stearns went, after Countrywide, it was company after company falling. Mm-hmm. Goldman goes, I'm telling you, the world financial system would have broken at that moment. I don't know where it would have bounced from. I don't know how deep it would have gone. But they saved Goldman. They saved, you know, hate them if you want. But Warren Buffett saved literally the financial system with a $5 billion lifeline to Goldman Sachs.
You and I have talked about the economy for a very long time. And the economy is in a really weird place. You have cycles, so you're going to have a recession. We should have had a recession during the Obama years, and we just kept, you know, the Fed just kept propping it up, propping it up, propping it up. The Fed's not really propping anything up anymore, and we're due for a recession. But worse is the CDO problem, the mortgage systems, the car loans that are out there. The same bad stuff that caused 08 has only been made much, much worse. Are you concerned about?
No, I'm not, because of the things we were overextended as an economy, as a country, individually in 2005, 6, and 7, and 8. But there are things in there. You talked about CDO, credit derivative assets. But we put in place things, and again, you and I don't like more government, but these things happen to be smart. We put in place ways that companies like Goldman Sachs of the world who leveraged the leverage. So in other words, everyone was leveraged by borrowing, right? Mm-hmm. So individuals, companies, we all borrow. So we're at a negative leverage. These outside groups went and said, I'll package these things and sell them at a discount. So now there's leverage upon the leverage. And they did it so many, they daisy chained it so many times that there was literally one, let's say a one finger's worth of asset in there and the whole body's worth of leverage in there. And when the system started to crumble, it all fell apart. We've now put rules into place where that they can't do that anymore. So I think, yes, we are extended, but we're not deriving instruments on credit extensions.
CDO problem was about 60 or 70 trillion, if I remember right. It is now over 160 trillion.
But we can't. You could be a Wall Street player and
leverage literally hundreds of millions of dollars of mortgages with no asset behind you.
Right.
You can't do that anymore. Now, the banks now need to show that they're not overextended on their balance sheets, which is a good thing.
In 1 minute, you tell me the state of the union today.
Much improved. Long way to go. I don't need a whole minute. Much improved, long way to go. I think barring any sort of major meltdown in the economy, I think you're going to have five more states of the union under Donald Trump.
State of the Union tonight, hosted by Eric Bolling here in Washington, D.C.
We're going to be in the Trump Hotel after the State of the Union. We're in the hotel bars. Never happened before.
I know. I know.
Got to watch this.
It's all online. We're taking the paywall down, as Eric said. So Blaze TV, you can go to blazetv.com. You can also watch it on YouTube and also on our Facebook page. Tonight, commercial free, starts at 7:30 Eastern time. Thanks, Eric.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
In the Constitution, it says, from time to time, the president shall address Congress, and it could be in letter form or any way he finds suitable, and make them aware of the state of the union. So if I were going to be the president of the United States, and I seriously had to think about this, I would start with, what are our duties as government? What are the things we can affect? What is the state of our union? And I would start by explaining that we have a constitution that we've all signed an oath to. That's the only reason why we're here, is to protect and defend the Constitution. And that is something that we established to create a more perfect union, not a perfect union. We're never going to get this right. But are we moving in the right direction? And the Constitution gave us certain things. So let's go through the State of the Union. We're supposed to establish justice. Have we done that? Is it justice? Is it equal justice? Because now there is social justice. And perhaps social justice should be left to the churches, and equal justice is the job of the state. We are to promote domestic tranquility. America has never been more anxious, and we're anxious because of Washington, D.C. Provide for the common defense. We got a great military, best in the world. However, that's not the only defense we're worried about. What about providing for the common defense on our borders? What about the common defense with China and AI and the 5G network and how they are infiltrating our country and our companies, and they are stealing us blind? What about Russia? Lots of investigations going on about Russia, but they all revolve around me. Go ahead, investigate all you want. But has anybody looked, what is Russia really doing? Whether I'm the president or the next person is the president, we are under attack. Are we providing for the common defense? Promote the general welfare. Promote. So are we promoting those things? Are we saying only we can do those things? How have we promoted the general welfare? And secure the blessings of liberty for us and our posterity. Boy, I could spend some time on abortion on that one. But I'd also like to say, we now have members of Congress that do not believe in the free market system. How are we promoting and securing the blessings of liberty when we have people that want to change our system of government into a system that is known for its oppression of people? I'd say the State of the Union is tenuous tonight. That's how I'd start. John Miller, who is our White House correspondent, does his own show on the Blaze TV and gives you a roundup and a look at what's really happening in Washington. Hello, John. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Glenn?
Good. I don't think the president's going to say any of those things tonight.
No, I think you're right about that. I think what he'll likely do is talk about the state of the economy, which is obviously still on fire. You were just talking about that in the last segment. But it's interesting because the state of the economy is great, but it should feel like the roaring 20s, or it should even feel like the 80s in terms of the national spirit. It absolutely does not.
No.
And I think that is because we are so divided.
And we're tenuous. We're not sure this is going to last because of spending is completely out of control in our own homes and also nationally. It's out of control. And you have this fight about taxes going up to 70%.
Yep.
I mean, and you don't know which direction we're going.
And it's interesting because the president is calling for unity tonight. And it's a matter of how do you unite with people who believe what the modern left believes in? I mean, how do you unite with people who believe that life doesn't start not at conception or even the third trimester, but when the baby's in the car on the way home and the mother's mental health is considered fit? I mean, how do you compromise with people who are literally saying to you, we're going to keep the government shut down unless you do what we want? Or people who bring as their guest to the State of the Union the person, the agitator who stopped Flake in the hallway. Mm-hmm. Or the people, the illegal immigrants, or the DACA recipients. So, you know, the president obviously does his own dividing on Twitter. Occasionally he, you know, has to do the political fisticuffs. But when he's calling for unity and the Democrats are saying, we don't really want to unite with you, we want to shove it in your face, I don't know how you heal that divide. It's that you said promote domestic tranquility. I don't know how you do that with people who are doing just that.
Give me a grade for of the constitutional responsibilities of this government. First, to provide equal justice.
I would say C.
Why?
I would say C because you have, I mean, you look at what happened to Kavanaugh. I mean, the justice system, I mean, forget the actual justice, the fact that the courts are out of control. Forget the fact that the courts have completely taken over what they're supposed to be doing and have outgrown how the Constitution sees them. I mean, the national spirit in terms of how you see people are completely guilty until proven innocent. You saw that with the, with the Covington kids. You saw that with Kavanaugh. You see that. I mean, it's just a mentality that you don't have to have any evidence. As long as we believe it to be true, believe all women. That's the motto on the left. Unless, of course, that guy is a Democrat, like the lieutenant governor of Virginia, then you don't have to believe him.
So here's the problem with this. The government, I think, has actually gotten better on justice with the justice reform that just happened. And the justice that you're talking about is really coming, you would say, is coming from us and the media, but it's not. It's actually coming from political organizations.
Sure.
It's not government-imposed social justice.
But it is the media. The Washington Post is absolutely helping them.
It is. It is. Okay, so justice. How can they even claim it's part of their job? Promote domestic tranquility.
You know, I don't know. So how does government actually do that? I mean, they can try to promote it, but at the end of the day, it is up to we the people to do that. And that's why, I mean, the preamble starts with we the people of the United States to promote it.
Right. But they established the Constitution for the government to do these things in order to create a more perfect union. So you notice it says promote domestic tranquility. That just means, to me, pet the cat. Don't do anything that is disrupting. If everybody wants to be disrupted, then you just have to be a leader and step in and go, we're going to make it. It's going to be okay. I know everybody's arguing with each other right now, but that's not what they're doing.
And I would give probably an F to everyone on that. I mean, everyone plays their role from government down to the media, down to, you know, people on Twitter and Facebook.
Yep.
Everyone fails on that.
Yep. Yep. Provide for the common defense.
Think pretty good, except the border is a disaster, and that is, you know, that's the primary function. You know, many would say that's the main function of a military, is to protect the borders here at home instead of, you know, thousands and thousands of miles away. So I think we're doing a good job
thousands of miles away.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Staving off those threats, but the ones that are closest to us, we're not doing anything.
And the ones that are coming in new forms, AI, the 5G network, Russia. With their ones and zeros, that we're in war with Russia right now. They are attacking us. Anyone who is in the information, you know, Facebook, Google, what are they doing to provide for the common defense against companies like that.
Right, they're doing nothing because it helps their business model.
Exactly right. So what'd you give them?
I would give a C again, because some people, in some areas it's good. I mean, we feel safe.
So I would go, I would say internationally, A.
Right.
Domestically, F.
I agree, and that kind of comes down to a C.
Yeah. General welfare. Promote the general welfare.
I think I would say, again, maybe a D, to be honest.
Why? What does that mean to you?
I don't know exactly what it means. I think that, I mean, the domestic tranquility and general welfare kind of seem the same.
I would agree.
But I think that the state of the spirit of our nation, I feel right now, is not in good shape.
Yeah.
And I think that is, falls into the category of general welfare.
And securing the blessings of liberty.
I would say F.
I would too.
I would say F.
I mean, this government is a failure. This government is an absolute failure if you grade it on the things the Constitution right. says they must do.
Well, like you said, in terms of just in terms of life, I mean, securing the blessings of liberty, if you're not going to stand
for
life.
And our posterity.
Yes,
that's what it says. Right. Us and our posterity.
Yep. And I mean, the spending is out of control. That's for posterity. And then also, I mean, just in terms of the way... the businesses, it's good. I mean, Trump has repealed a lot of regulations, which is good for business, but liberty is more than just business liberty. And so I think that the notion of freedom, it's not something anyone talks about anymore. I mean, when is the last time you heard a politician really talk about the importance of individual liberty and freedom?
Outside of we're fighting for women's rights or...
Right.
Other than, you know, bogus speeches, almost never.
Yeah, it's not
almost never. And you're seeing it in the polling of millennials. Freedom of speech, they don't believe that. They don't believe that anymore. They don't believe in freedom of speech. They're trying to now put a 50% tax on bullets. They don't believe in the Second Amendment. You know, the only one that I think we could all agree on is the Third Amendment. You know, the king can't quarter soldiers.
Right, that's the most important amendment. So
right, it is. But you know what? I think we're actually violating that, because I think with the NSA, they're doing the same thing the king was trying to do by quartering soldiers. Their soldiers are just digital.
Right. Right.
Just
no, I think that's interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. John, you're going to be part of the broadcast.
Yeah,
tonight.
We're going to be broadcasting. I think we're going to be in Emancipation Hall as well. So.
Oh, wow. Okay, so we'll see you tonight on the broadcast hosted by Eric Bolling, and that is happening on the Blaze TV tonight. Starts at 7:30, and it's commercial-free. You can find it on YouTube, also on our Facebook page, and blazetv.com.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.